Brainwash the show, ASPIT 630, presented by Flight by Yingling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. All right, I'm going to read one piece about the overtime rule, which has come into question again after the Chiefs beat the Bills and Buffalo never touched the ball in the extra period in what was one of the best football games I or anyone has ever seen. Mark Canizzaro, whose work I like for the New York Post, it kind of it echoes most of the sentiment that is out there about this, and then I'll tell you my opinion on this. Let's see. Mark writes, change the overtime rule, NFL, ASAP, please. The next time the NFL's competition committee is in session, the people on the panel need to watch the final 2 minutes of Sunday night's epic AFC divisional playoff game between the Chiefs and the Bills and ask themselves if they were satisfied with the outcome. They need to ask themselves if, after the month's worth of memorable moments from the two teams created in what was an instant classic, it was fair that the Bills never had a chance to touch the football on offense in overtime. Anyone who answers no to that question is either heartless or clueless. The reality of Kansas City's 42-36 overtime win over Buffalo at Arrowhead Stadium was this. The Chiefs didn't as much win the game when Patrick Mahomes connected with Travis Kelce with the walk-off touchdown pass 4:15 into the extra period as they did when they won the coin toss before overtime. A coin toss decided this game because the last quarterback with the ball in his hands was going to win it. Everyone in the house knew it. Chiefs, who tied the game with a 49-yard field goal as time expired in regulation after taking over the ball with 13 seconds remaining on their own 25-yard line, knew it. You could tell by their overly animated elation when Bills quarterback Josh Allen called tails and the coin toss came up heads. Kansas City ball, game over. The Chiefs knew that that would be the only offensive possession of overtime because they were going to score a walk-off touchdown, and the Bills, too, had to feel it in the pit of their collective stomachs. To the Bills' credit, they exited stage left out of Kansas City with class and didn't complain about the flawed overtime format. Quote, the rules are what they are, Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who threw four touchdowns in the loss on what was one of the greatest postseason performances of all time, said diplomatically, quote, I can't really complain about it because if it happened to us, we'd be out there celebrating like the Chiefs did. Fair enough. Now it's time for the NFL to make overtime more fair in the playoffs because of the finality of the postseason. Keep the current overtime rule as it is for the regular season, but modify it in the playoffs so that each team gets at least one possession, regardless of whether the team with the first ball scores a touchdown. Even if the most ardent of Kansas City fans surely feel the Bills' pain. Ironically, the Chiefs got the short end of the stick in 2018, same way the Bills did on Sunday night. In Kansas City's 34-28 overtime loss to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, New England captain Matthew Slater won the coin toss. Patriots got the first possession. They scored a touchdown. Kansas City never touched the ball. Ended its season. After that loss, Kelce, who scored the winning touchdown Sunday night, was vocal about how the overtime structure was unfair. Under the same format this time, Kelce and the Chiefs were the beneficiaries. When it was suggested to Kelce back then that each team should be guaranteed a possession in overtime, he said, I think it's a little bit more fair. He said he was definitely in favor of the league amending the rule, adding, being in that situation, really having no rebuttal, it's kind of tough. Just ask the Bills. Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills, said, guys are hurt. We're all hurt. Sick to our stomachs. It stings. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I know the fans are disappointed, and I wish I could take that off of them, but I can't. What doesn't kill you should only make you stronger, and this should make us stronger. The NFL playoffs would be stronger, fairer, and better if the league changes the overtime rule. Everything that happens in life is a lesson, said Jordan Poyer, and either you grow or you die from it. You grow from it or you die from it. Hopefully, watching what transpired Sunday night in this classic game that deserved more, the NFL will learn a lesson and change the rule. ASAP, please. Thank you. Okay. I think that echoes largely a lot of sentiment that is out there about the overtime rule. I disagree wholeheartedly for many reasons. So, okay. Let's say the Bills do get the ball after Kansas City gets it. And let's say they get stopped and they don't score a touchdown. Well, why couldn't the Bills do that on the first possession or at bare minimum, just hold the Chiefs to a field goal? So if the Bills get stopped and don't score a touchdown on their possession to tie the game in overtime that you're saying the rule needs to be amended to, does that made it more fair in some way? Because if the Bills stopped Kansas City on the first drive and held them to minimum a field goal, or, you know, best case scenario, nothing at all, then they kick a field goal to win and don't have to score a touchdown in overtime. Secondly, and I think this is more important, let's say both of them do score a touchdown on their first possession. The game does now end on a field goal, correct? At what point does the rule allow for the game is over on the next score? Because then you could say, well, they got two possessions and we only got one. So at what point do you think it's a fair manifestation of a rule in overtime? I don't have a problem with this. If you can't stop somebody from scoring a touchdown with, and especially in Buffalo's case where I'm not crying for them, the number one defense in the league, sorry, you lost. And the game didn't end on a coin toss. The game ended on a touchdown pass. The coin toss only gave Kansas City the first opportunity to do so. But had they not scored a touchdown, the game would have continued and Buffalo would not have been forced to score a touchdown to win. Their bar to crawl over is different if they do the one thing they have to do, get a stop and don't allow a touchdown. And to right, everybody in the building knows whoever has the ball last is going to score a touchdown, and that's how it's going to be, would suggest that Kansas City and Buffalo have scored touchdowns on every single one of their previous drives in the game, which they didn't. If you have a problem with a team scoring a touchdown on the first drive in overtime, so much so that the other team should have a chance at the, as he put it, a rebuttal, what are you going to do when they score a touchdown in overtime? Are you going to then decide that it's okay that the next score wins, even if the next score is a 45-yard field goal by Kansas City, because the bar that they had to jump over isn't as high any longer? I think the rule's fine the way it is. I actually don't particularly like the regular season overtime rule. Based on the amount of time that is on the clock. And I would say this too about the postseason overtime rule. In the same way I would say this, there is one tweak I would like to see changed for good, and that's remove the clock. Nobody wants ties. Nobody. So if you take the clock out of it in the regular season, there is no tie. We will just play until the game ends, and the rules are what they are. Team who gets the ball first, if they give up a safety, game's over. If they score a touchdown, game's over. Otherwise, the other team gets a possession, period. Next score wins. In postseason, same thing. And I would remove the clock. There's no necessity for the clock. All the clock does, unless you want to have it for a statistical marker of how long it took for a game to end, that's fine. But the clock running out shouldn't matter. Let's have an actual decision occur. And there are too many games with only 10 minutes on the clock, especially if the opening drive by that team is a long opening drive that cuts into this clock and only ends up in a field goal. It leaves the other team in a definitive, difficult position to get back. That's not fair. None of this is ever going to be fair. There's no easy way to make it fair. And my biggest question would be, When would enough be enough? If you're saying the other team has to get a possession, if the first team who got the ball scores a touchdown, then are you saying that the bar remains just as high on the next possession, that they'd have to score a touchdown to win then? And if so, why is it still not fair for the other team to get the ball a second time against them? I think these complaints are honestly seriously off. There's no way to make this perfectly fair for everybody. And anyone who continues to say the game was decided on a coin toss didn't watch the first 60 minutes of it. It wasn't. The game could easily be argued it was decided on a missed extra point. the game could easily be argued was decided on a missed field goal at the end of the first half. The game could be decided on the inability of a cornerback to not fall down on a 4th-and-13 play, of which Buffalo scored a touchdown on. If you get a stop on what is typically, statistically, an extraordinarily hard play to convert, let alone score on, the game is over. Kansas City had 13 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Had Buffalo, I don't know, kicked a squib kick and taken 4 or 5 seconds off the clock, Kansas City would never have had enough time to get down the field and get into position to actually kick a game-tying field goal. So you could say the game was decided there. Or you could say the game was decided on not covering Travis Kelce very well with 8 seconds left that allowed Kansas City to get into position. By saying a coin toss won the game is dismissing literally everything that happened up to that point. All of which there are plenty of key moments and pivotal points of which either team could have won the game last night. And it never would have gone into overtime. But that's not a good story, I guess. And everybody wants to go after overtime. Had Buffalo not given up a touchdown, they would have gotten the ball. That is not an extraordinarily low bar. It's a high bar. Touchdowns don't happen often. Teams don't typically score on every drive. In fact, most teams don't score on 50% of the drives that they have. So I'm supposed to feel bad for Buffalo that they gave up a touchdown in overtime, and that should then mean that they shouldn't have lost. It will never end. If you kowtowed to that, it would never end. Is it fair if they both score a touchdown? And then what do? Flip the coin again? Or do you actually have Buffalo kick off and then say what? Does the next score win now? Because the bar's a lot lower for Kansas City to get in field goal range. I don't know. Now, I do like the Ravens rule that they had put out in the offseason that got ruled out. The Ravens wanted to do a completely different type of overtime rule. They wanted to do spot and choose. And essentially, it would take the coin toss out of all of this. The coin flip would only determine which role each team plays. You could spot the ball or you can choose. And that's it. So if Team A decides to try to take Team B and put them deep in their offensive zone territory, Team B can just say, no, thank you. You take the ball on the offense's 10-yard line. And if Team A selects the 50-yard line, it's the equivalent of a receiver getting the ball out to midfield, which most teams would be fine with. So that's what they tried to do, which was to do spot and choose. And I'm willing to hear that. I'm willing to understand that there's the way that they want to go about it. Here's CBS on trying to fix overtime last night. Under the rules, we have what we have. Spot and choose is this. Under the rule, one team would choose the yard line where overtime starts. The other team would choose whether they want to play offense or defense in that spot. So basically, if you said, okay, you get to start at your 1 yard line, they could say, no, you get to start at your 1 yard line. And therefore, I think this would eventually end up with somebody is going to say, they're going to pick a number where someone's going to say, we'll be on offense. And that's probably somewhere between the 15 to 20 yard line. And that's what I would think would end up happening here. And it would go on to say this: if Team A and Team B were playing in overtime and Team A won the coin toss, they could pick any spot on the field where the drive would start. They picked the 10 yard line. Team B would get to choose whether it wants to play offense or defense. It would be 10 minutes sudden death. No, None of the if they score TD or if they don't score TD. That's it. If the rule had been placed on Sunday night, like they could have chosen, the Chiefs could have chosen start on the 5-yard line. At that point, Sean McDermott could decide whether he wants the ball. And of course, they've got to go, but they got to get near field goal range. And so that bar is low. Why would you never take the ball on offense there? Why would you ever trust giving the ball to the other team? They have another option. They call the field goal gamble. If they want to get rid of the coin toss and replace it with a football skill, the home team would pick a distance for a field goal that would decide who gets the ball first. And then the away team would decide which team kicks the field goal, which I think is stupid, but it's been a proposal that's out there. And then the other one is both teams get the ball, which is what everyone seems to be arguing here. But the reality is both teams do get the ball. If Kansas City only ends up kicking a field goal and not scoring a touchdown, Buffalo would have gotten the ball. But because they were with the number one defense, incapable of stopping that from happening, they didn't. Kansas City wins, period. And I don't know why this seems so controversial now. And I don't know how there would have been a better outcome if Buffalo got the ball and scored a touchdown. And then what? That's the problem. Then what? So if Buffalo doesn't score a touchdown on a drive where they have to score a touchdown to win, doesn't that prove the point that there was never a necessity to give them the ball under that scenario anyway? And if they can't stop them from scoring a touchdown on a drive, or if they did, they would have got the ball anyway. It used to be first score wins, and the coin toss seemed to make that bar really low because teams could settle to try to kick a field goal. I think they've done the best they could with overtime, period, and that's it. And, you know, do they want to try spot and choose? Fine. Like, I'm all for innovation. I'm all for changes. Like, I've been screaming and yelling about the Ibram ending in the NBA and in college basketball that I think it could make the endings of NBA games more exciting and different. Turn the clock off. Put a number on the board after a certain period of time. First one to that score wins. It would marginalize and mitigate all of the fouling and all the stoppages of play and all the dumb fouls that occur 30 feet away from the ball in an attempt to get misses to save time on a clock. Well, if there's no time that you're going for and you're just trying to get to a score, it would not be beneficial for a team to actually foul people unless they knew they were going to miss the free throws. Otherwise, they're just playing with fire and allowing them with an opportunity to win a game from the free throw line. It's the last thing you want them to do. So I'm same way here on football. I am okay with if you want to try to tweak the rule and figure something out that makes it more exciting. Like, I'm okay with the idea of a change of you don't want to do an onside kick. Fine. There's another way to go about this. Run a 4th and 15 play from your own 35, 40 yard line. If you complete it, you keep the ball. If you don't convert, the other team gets the ball wherever the play is dead. And that's how that happens. And no more onside kicks. I'm all for innovating and I'm all for change and I'm all for making it more exciting. And I'm all for getting the offenses on the field and having the ball in the quarterback's hands. But at some point you have to have an ending. And if you don't have an ending, then what's the point of the whole thing? And I'm not as beefed up about the overtime rule because all Buffalo had to do was hold them to a field goal and they would have got a shot, but they didn't. So there has to be a limit and that limit has to be put in place. This can't go on forever just because we enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed that game too. It was really fun. And for all those, for anyone who writes a coin toss determined that game, no, not defending Kansas City with 13 seconds left on their side of the field to allow them to get off a 45-yard field goal before time expired. That's why Buffalo lost last night. That's why they lost. Or, I don't know, maybe that 65-yard touchdown they gave up to Tyreek Hill on an inside slant. Maybe that's why they lost last night. And Kansas City ought to be sitting there going, we shouldn't even have been in overtime last night. We gave up a 4th and 13 touchdown. There's 8 million things that could have happened differently. Their kicker, who's good, missed an extra point and an easily makeable field goal at the end of the first half. That's the difference in the game. The coin toss had nothing to do with it. Somebody was getting the ball first. All I had to do was get a stop. One stop. They couldn't do it. Sorry they lost. I feel for Buffalo fans. I wanted them to win. I was rooting for them. I like being right. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl and win it from the summer. I like them. They have a great team. Their quarterback's amazing. That was unbelievable. That was the Matrix last night. That was unbelievable what those guys were doing. But there has to be an end. And if that's what you're complaining about today, then you didn't enjoy what you saw. And there were 58 points in that game that could have won or lost the game. The coin toss had little to do with it. Like very, very, very little to do with it. All right, let me take a quick break. Brandon Boston Show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Brandon Boston Show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. All right. We may have two massive retirements of quarterbacks this offseason. It's possible Tom Brady is going to retire after the Buccaneers went out over the weekend, and it is possible that Aaron Rodgers is going to retire after the Packers went out over the weekend. The two situations are obviously very, very different. Rodgers has to probably think about seriously, does he want to play for somebody else? And we'll get to that in a second, because playing for Green Bay again doesn't feel as if it's viable, at least if you take him at his word, where he said after the game, I don't want to play on a rebuild if I play at all. So he has left open the possibility that he is going to outright retire. But if not, it does sound like, and this has been kind of writing on the wall the whole time, they structured his contract when they redid it as a last dance type situation. Pro Football Network did a breakdown of their cap, and I want to read it to you. And this will basically tell you that Green Bay essentially is in a spot where it is very, very, very unlikely that they're going to be able to show him the path to as competitive a team as he's had the last few years, and therefore he's going to have to make a decision about what his future is. They wrote this. The Green Bay Packers are in a precarious position heading into the offseason. Despite having the league's best record, there might not be a team with more questions heading into their campaign, and it starts and ends with Aaron Rodgers. Pending free agents, team needs, draft picks, they're all a problem for them as well. Nobody was more consistent than the Packers, but it seems that money has finally become an issue. Their top five players take up 65% of the cap for 2022 as of right now. So as of right now, they have negative $39 million in projected cap space, which means they have to do some massive things. The easiest alleviation of that is Rodgers, who has a cap hit for next year at $44.4 million. The number changes if he were to retire or be traded, but for right now, you have to use it for their future. So they could get out from under being over the cap overnight by letting Rodgers either be released or, in more likelihood, be traded, because clearly I don't think they want to let him walk. Now, this is what gets complicated about this. For him to say, if I play, or, you know, if I play, whatever, if he were to retire, they would get the cap space. They would end up putting him on a restricted list. And just so that if he does change his mind, he can't handpick where he goes to. So he can't end up playing for the Bears or the Vikings or the Lions overnight and be in the division again. Not unlike what happened with Brett Favre. Brett Favre retired, but everyone knew he didn't really want to retire, and he wanted to trade, and he wanted to go somewhere else. And there was kind of nowhere for him to go because the Packers restricted it. And eventually they were willing to trade him to the Jets when he finally ceded that and said, fine, I'll go there. Played it out with the Jets, got out from under that contract, ended up going to Minnesota, but it took a circuitous route to get around to it. Not to suggest that Rodgers wants to do any of those things, but, you know, he likes Favre. Could he follow in his footsteps and replace Kurt up in Minnesota? Who knows, right? The Packers aren't going to let that happen. That said, they're in a very, very, very difficult spot. There are other ways around it for them to get back, you know, under the cap again. But the problem is, what are they going to do to improve themselves? Because one of their major free agents is Davante Adams. So how in the world are they going to give him whatever the market rate is, because he's going to get it, and still be under the cap when they have all these other people? Here are the names to probably watch for them. Za'Darius Smith has a cap hit of over nearly $28 million. Clearly that's going to change. If they cut him outright, they save $15 million. If they restructure it, they could keep him and probably keep him there and probably cut it down significantly and kick the can down the road with him. It's going to matter how much do they still like him at this point. And I don't know. If they're looking at a full rebuild, do they then just move on? David Bakhtiari, coming off the knee injury, $22.8 million in 2022, but he barely played this year. If they don't have Rodgers there, do they value paying a premier left tackle off an injury that? Do they ask him to restructure off the deal he got because of it? Because they would think that he'd have a hard time getting it back on the open market again, although he probably would. Kenny Clark, their D tackle's very good, expected to make over $20 million if his current contract stays. So in those three guys alone, they probably have some leverage, especially with Smith and especially with Clark. With Bakhtiari, he could probably play a game with them and say, I dare you to cut me because I'm going to get this money back somewhere else or very close to it or probably get an extension. Not unlike what happened with Trent Williams, had a very serious injury, not the same in terms of a football injury, but very serious injury gear, had a falling out with the team. He wanted a big raise. They didn't want to give it to him. He ended up being traded. He got the money he was looking for in the open market anyway, even at his age and all the things that were happening. Bakhtiari, I would guess, would get just about anything anywhere if he was willing to be set out onto the open market. We'll see if they're willing to do that. Za'Darius Smith and Kenny Clark are two very good players. Clark had a great year. That they could at least restructure. But that doesn't change the fact that Rodgers hit a $44 million, even if they restructure those guys, are not going to allow them the opportunity to sign Davante Adams, who may or may not want to sign long-term anyway, knowing that Rodgers is going year-to-year at best. The other free agents that they have, outside of Adams, who is still under 30 and is likely to get in the neighborhood of, if not, the biggest contract for any wide receiver on the open market. Robert Tonyan, who's one of his favorite targets, but I don't think that's as big a deal for Green Bay. If Rodgers isn't there, they're not going to lose their mind if they lose Robert Tonyan. And he went out with an injury this year anyway. Devondre Campbell was picked up back in June. He ended up being an outstanding pickup for them, but he is now a free agent to be. And because of the season he had, is in all likelihood going to get a pretty good deal out on the open market, one that they basically can't afford. Alan Lazard is wide receiver 2-3 for Green Bay, restricted free agent, which means they can probably keep him and somewhat on the cheap. But if they were to lose Adams, which feels likely, even if they franchise him, they can't really fit the franchise number. They'd have to work out a long-term deal. We'll have to see. Does he even want to be there? If Rodgers is going to be there, we don't know. The offensive line was a work in progress for them all year. That really showed out here in the playoffs against the 49ers. Good luck with all that. Linebackers, not one, but two, especially if Za'Darius Smith is cut, and then Campbell gets a better deal in the open market that the Packers just don't have the money to match, and then potentially a defensive tackle, which is not a cheap position. If Kenny Clark goes out on the open market and finds something, it's looking like just to get themselves compliant, they're going to have to make a lot of decisions they don't want to make, and their high-profile players may not want to be on a team that doesn't have the high-end ceiling on it. And so Rodgers and Adams feel like they're going to be going elsewhere. This also had obviously a major last dance feel to the whole thing the whole time anyway. We know what happened last offseason. Rodgers made it very clear that he wasn't sure he even wanted to play for them at all. I won't characterize it any more than that. Everybody knows that things got odd with him. He finally came back. There was a lot of him being in the news for a lot of reasons. I think they'll look past all of that. I think regionally, a lot of the people who live there will look past all of that, especially if he's going to play the way he played this year. That said, he went out, and at his age, is it time to cut the cord, knowing that the team around him is going to be in a rebuilding type spot? And I think all along, this was kind of the plan. Let's do a last dance. Let's see how it goes. Everybody was locked in. It didn't pan out after they got the one seed. So Rodgers, I think, if I were to guess, is really leaving. You know, initially, it felt like they were all making nice with one another, and they were making it sound like that this was going to end up working out. But if you look at the reality of the team around him, I don't know that Rodgers is going to look at this and feel like he'll have the same opportunities that he has here, especially if Adams is gone. And can he dictate them to sign Adams? Probably not. And if I'm Adams and his representation, knowing that Rodgers might do this one more time or might not, I don't know how they can come around to wanting to sign a long-term deal there. That they're probably going to hit the open market and they're probably going to end up somewhere else. So Rodgers, in my opinion, is either retiring or going to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and we all know it. The reports today were Nathaniel Hackett is having a second interview. Rodgers, not so secretly, it's already been reported, basically said to the Broncos, hire my guy. He's my offensive coordinator. I'll come play for you. His fiance, Shailene, family from Boulder, Colorado. Clearly, they've made it pretty clear they like that lifestyle these days. Living down there feels right. There's going to be a new ownership group. Peyton Manning might be part of that ownership group. John Elway's already there. They've already dealt with late career moves by Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That is a very good roster there, specifically on defense. They don't have the cap problems. Now that Von Miller's gone specifically, they don't have the cap problems. They don't have a ton of extremely high-paid players on that roster right now, so they can swallow this up and bring him in. And he can play 1, 2, 3 years, dependent, I would suppose, on what the price is to get him out of Green Bay. So if I were to take an educated guess here, it all adds up to you saw Aaron Rodgers play his last game in Green Bay over the weekend. He may or may not play football again. If he does, it feels like it would be in a select couple of places, if not one select place. If they hire Nathaniel Hackett, it's greasing the wheels for him to likely go there if Denver and Green Bay have. And I would think if they hire Hackett, that it is already kind of set where they're going in terms of a trade to allow this to happen. So we'll see. Brady's is different. Brady's is singularly up to him. Brady can have essentially the same team back without the AB headache, who obviously won't be back next year. Bruce Arians has already said, I'm coming back. Regardless, either way, they may not have the same coordinator. Byron Leftwich is going to meet with Jacksonville. I don't think that'll be a hangup for Brady, who showed up there and won a Super Bowl. And no offense to Byron Leftwich, but Brady showed up there, didn't have an offseason, won a Super Bowl. I'm sure Leftwich does a nice job. He seems like he'd be a perfect fit with his background, having played for the Jaguars, that he'd be the right guy to go there and hopefully get Trevor Lawrence going the right way. But I don't think that matters for Brady's future in Tampa whatsoever. He could have Tampa hire whoever he likes to be the offensive coordinator there overnight if that's what he chose to do. And I'm sure he would dictate something like that. I think Fournette is back. You know, their offensive line is in good shape when they're not healthy. They're young on the outside, experienced on the inside. I'm sure the gang will get all back together on the ones that need to. The way that they go about their cap mainly is they don't often sign a lot of people to long-term deals. They often go year to year with a lot of people. So does Ndamukong Suh come back? Maybe, probably. They have enough flexibility that they can do what they need to do. They'll have to find a replacement for AB, maybe for Godwin. He was on a franchise tag. He's coming off ACL. I don't know if they'll bring him back, but they would be in a very interesting spot, open market, to go find somebody. I don't know if they would spend to put Adams across from Mike Evans, but if Brady asked for that to happen and promised at least 1 year, if not more, maybe they would go that direction. I don't know. Obviously, they are set. This is different than Green Bay. They're not in a reboot situation. They can carry this over for another year or two. This is strictly about desire. Does he want to do this again? And again, we're all just guessing at this point, but I have felt really since the middle of the season that this was it for him. He's kind of talked about his career differently this time around. When he does talk about all the things he's accomplished, there's a lot more introspection and reverence. He isn't as looking ahead as he used to. He has openly admitted that his wife has talked to him about how much her career has gone on the back burner in support of his, and how he's cognizant of that. He was on an interview with Howard Stern and admitted that there were marriage problems at one point, that it went beyond just the conversation about it, but there were marriage problems. He's already proven his point. He has already won a Super Bowl. He has already broken literally just about every record that is possible to break. Nobody right now playing is even within remote sniffing distance of him. The only person that could be is if for some reason Drew Brees decided he wanted to go play football again, which I don't think anyone thinks he's going to do, but I suppose that could happen. As long as he stays retired, nobody's even remotely close to him. Mahomes would have to play 10 more years to even come close to any of these records. So does he feel like he's proven what he needs to prove? He also said that it does concern him that he doesn't want to look like he sucks when he goes out, that he does not want to have a drop-off. Only he knows whether he feels like that's a possibility, because his stats and the outcomes this year suggest he's got more in him, and everybody is fully aware of how he takes care of himself and how he takes care of his body. But I read between the lines. It's what I do. And between the lines says he's been thinking long and hard about retirement. I often feel like if that's what you talk about, then it manifests itself that you already are half retired. And it's not that he wasn't locked in. He was. And it's not that he can't compartmentalize. He clearly can. And it's not that it looks like the competitive juices are gone. They look like they exist. But in totality, it does feel like, does he really want to try for this again? And it doesn't feel as obvious as it did a year ago. After the Super Bowl was over, the first thing out of his mouth was he was coming back again. And he was yelling, we're putting the gang back together and LFG and all that stuff. This time, no. Because for months, he's been talking like someone who was not only seriously considering it, but already looking ahead. He clearly has already divested into many, many, many different avenues, and that's not surprising for someone of his level and fame and wealth. But he's already seen the path on the other side. Entertainment, NFTs, cryptocurrency, there's a lot that's there for him. He has a health brand, a lifestyle brand. He's already transitioned himself where he could just step into these things. He could probably go into broadcasting tomorrow if he wanted to. He could probably get into, not unlike Peyton Manning, probably ownership groups at some point if he really wanted to. And so I think there's an easy path out if he's just willing to say, I've had enough. The itch has been scratched. There's a Michael Jordan aspect to him where Jordan, when he finally did come back and play for the Wizards, he admitted, like, well, one, the team was not constructed in a way to win in the way that he had hoped, but he admitted there was an itch to scratch and it was hard to let go of the competitive part of it. Brady could be the type of person that needs to take the spring off, needs to take training camp off, needs to get into the regular season to see what it feels like to be without it. And I wouldn't put it past him for him to feel the urge and the itch to come back. Now, whether that's for Tampa, I don't know, or whether that's for someone else, I don't know, but I think he's going to dip his toe for real into retirement, and I think he's going to see how it fits him. Rodgers is going one of two places, or he is retiring, and I'd say it's 50-50, but I don't think you're going to see him in a Packers jersey again. With Brady, I think it's 50-50 he plays again. And I would see, even if he says I'm retiring, 50-50, he sticks to it. When we get around to the fall, if he suddenly misses it desperately, is in the shape that he can be in, and offers to come back because any team would welcome him back overnight. So that's where I think the two major, major ones have landed. All right, we'll take a quick break. Bray wants to show ESPN 630 Sports Capital. All right, welcome back. Callo is out getting ready for Caps and Golden Knights tonight for the Caps Radio Network. So Lauren's in the studio. And as I was flipping through Instagram today, I saw you pop up.
Oh, gosh.
and so apparently you are doing some, what would you call this, reels?
Yeah.
Reels for us for ESPN 630?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So let's go. All right, let's go. Give me the genesis of this. How did this happen?
So really we're just trying to get a presence on Instagram more, and I, on my personal page, am fairly good at reels. So they were like, let's do it. And I was like, all right, what better time to start than the Monday after the best weekend of football? So we honestly had way more points to talk about. So we had to get rid of 3 points to talk about because I only had 60 seconds and I talk way too long.
I see. When you were probably not born when I was doing my Redskin reports from back in the day, but I also spoke way too fast. And people made fun of me because I would say my name funny when I finished the reports back then.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Anyway. All right. So what'd you think last night? Greatest game ever or what? What did you make of that thing?
Hands down. I mean, my biggest takeaway was the time that it started. Like, can we get that in the regular season? Because I got to bet at a normal time with an overtime game. It was fantastic. I was loving life. I've never enjoyed a football game more because of the time. But yeah, I mean, that was insane.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was the best.
Are you pissed about overtime or no? Are you okay with the rule? I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with it this way. Get a stop. It's right. Not that they don't get the ball. It's they don't get the ball if they don't get a stop.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with you 100%. I mean, where do we draw the line? And like, okay, so they both get the ball. So then the next person to score, is that fair? Like, I just, right. there's no drawing point. And I don't think it should change at all, quite frankly. Like, defense is part of football too. Just get the, you don't even have to stop them completely. Just keep them to a field goal, you know?
All right, how about this one then? Here's a tweak I would do it then. Forget the coin toss. Visiting team gets the ball in overtime to start.
Oh, Lord. Yeah? Yeah, and then keep the rest of the rules? And then keep the rest of the rules?
Everything stays the same. Okay. They still have to score a touchdown to win.
Just get rid of the...
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of the coin toss. Forget the coin toss. Visiting team's going to get the ball first. Kicking team can decide which direction they're kicking the ball off. That's it.
Love it.
Period. And then you get the entire crowd, because they're on defense, going nuts the whole time.
Who do we email?
I don't know. But I mean, I'll take that over a coin toss.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the visitor and you got to overtime, you get the ball first. Yeah. That's it. Period.
I like it. I like it.
All right, a couple odds for you from Bet Online. Will Tom Brady be on the Buccaneers Week 1, 2022? Yes is an overwhelming favorite, 1-15. So they don't believe that he's retiring. I think it's 50-50. And I would buy into he does test the waters of retirement. And I could see where he gets real itchy in September and feels like he needs to come back. Let's see. Will Aaron Rodgers be on the Packers Week 1 next year? Odds are no, -225. Yes is a plus. You'll get +160 on yes that Aaron Rodgers comes back, and I do believe that's it. I think he's done.
I
think he's done there. Yeah. I don't know whether he's retiring or not. I think he's done there.
I think so.
And it really has actually less to do about whether he actually would go back again, but more that he knows he doesn't have a team he can win with next year.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
Let's see. Will he retire before Week 1? The overwhelming favorite is no on the board.
-2000. I don't think he can.
Yeah, well, he could retire anytime now and then.
Well, I know, but like, you're going to go out the way that, like, you're going to go out now? Like, Tom Brady, I mean,
well, you could say that with Brady, I guess.
Well, I mean,
he just went out.
You can, but he doesn't have anything else to prove to anybody. I don't think he's going to retire, but at what point, like, then if he comes back next year, loses again, then you're a two-time, you're going out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think if Brady's going to retire this year is the best. If he doesn't, then he's going to have to play another year, you know?
I think he all-time mic dropped it last year and could have just walked. Been like, go
100%.
There, won a Super Bowl one
he
year,
should've.
Walked and been like, yeah, well, but you know what? Like, when I saw how close he was to other major records, I knew he was going to come back.
Yeah, that's true.
Because this way he gets to break every literal major record. That happened. So now,
is there any other records? Yeah, is there any other records for him to break?
None of the major ones.
Yeah.
There's some weird, you know, I'd have to look.
Like little miscellaneous.
Yeah. But he's got completions, passing yards, passing touchdowns, all of them. He's got all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he would stay. I mean,
right.
Like anyone who has the theory he's going somewhere else, I don't think that's happening.
No,
I think
he's either
playing in Tampa or he's retiring. And I think the only reason why he would stay in Tampa is he literally can't give it up and that's it.
Yeah.
That he's wired this way where he cannot give it up. It's impossible for him. It's like a drug to him. He's addicted to it. He can't stop. and he knows he can still play, and therefore he doesn't want to give it up. That's the only reason why I think he will stay. But I've been 50-50 since just listening to him, and I think he's going to retire. Mm-hmm. I do. I do think he's going to retire. I don't know if it'll stick, but I think he's going to retire. Let's see. They've got Aaron Rodgers week one if it's not the Packers. The favorite on the board is Denver. They got the Steelers at the second choice. Dolphins third choice. No way.
No way.
Eagles fourth choice. No way.
No way.
Browns wouldn't actually shock me. I don't know if he wants to live there. Raiders wouldn't totally shock me either, dependent on who the coach is. That wouldn't totally shock me. It would really depend who the coach is. Like, yeah.
He would enjoy Las Vegas, I'm sure. Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh's the coach there. He's not going there. Yeah. It ain't happening. It's gonna be a hand-picked situation. I think he's going to Denver or he's retiring. That's what I think. But then, you know, they also got to trade him, so we'll see.
And I think the other he should go somewhere warm.
shouldn't we all? My retirement's happening.
Like New Orleans or something. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, that's if Sean Payton is there. Yeah. And they asked the question, will he coach there week one? And right now, no is 9-1. So I believe this reporting that Sean Payton may not be staying there. Like, I don't know that it's definitively for TV, frankly. I got my theory is he's sniffing around the Cowboys job. That's my theory.
There's been too much change with the Saints.
My theory is he wants the Cowboys job. That's my theory.
That's interesting. But
they finally want to get him. Everyone's yelling about McCarthy. They got a winning team down there. He can just slide right in and maybe take him over the top. That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Well, we'll see.
All right. We'll see. All right. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right. See y'all tomorrow. Bram wants to show you. ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.